Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on AIRS LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Today's articles are from the October 2025 edition. A born storyteller, senior editor Ivy Odom has a fabulous new cookbook. The first time Ivy Odom showed up on my radar was in January 2017, when she was still fresh out of culinary school. I'd gotten word that a young test kitchen professional was making a show-stopping dessert that I really needed to see. So I went upstairs to our food studios, the sprawling space where we create and photograph recipes, and there was Ivy, putting the finishing touches on an 18-layer chocolate cake. She called it a little layer cake, and a small crowd of food stylists and recipe developers had gathered to watch because they had never heard of such a thing. Sounding like a seasoned cook far beyond her years, Ivy talked about the dessert's origins in parts of Georgia and Alabama, and how her great-grandmother had often made it for special occasions. She and her mother had both grown up requesting it for their birthdays, and she was hoping to make a version of it for Southern Living readers. At the time, we were experimenting with different kinds of food videos online, so our longtime director, Mike Grady, asked if she'd like to recreate the cake in the studio the following week. All the recipes we were shooting back then were what we called hands and pans, very short and straight to the point. But Mike had a hunch about this one. He asked Ivy to tell the story behind the recipe and why it was important to her family. Like everyone else who watched it, I was charmed by her sense of humor, her enthusiasm, and her understanding of the Southern culture. Ivy explained the cake's history as she worked carefully, alternating each layer with a thin coating of chocolate frosting, just as she had done it before. The finished product was a thing of beauty, but what stopped me in my tracks was the way she brought it to life on camera. Ivy wasn't just a talented cook or a budding on-screen personality. She was a born storyteller. The video went viral, and she has since become a fixture at Southern Living. She writes a popular column in the magazine, has made several appearances on national television shows, does food and drink demonstrations at events, and shares cooking and hosting tips on social media. Her family has pitched in, too, whether it's her husband, Lewis, her father, Wayne, who goes by Farmer Wayno, or her mother, Sabrina. Her house has become a film set, and she has invited millions of Southern Living followers into her kitchen, helping a whole new generation with recipes for everything from weeknight dinners to holiday celebrations to Kentucky Derby parties to drinks like sweet tea with a pinch of baking soda. I'm not sure what her secret is, but Ivy is an old soul who somehow, in her early 30s, speaks with the wisdom and authority of a Southern grandmother. She has a confidence that can only come from countless hours in the kitchen, and understands how some dishes can stir one's emotions as well as our appetites. Ivy also loves the spirit of Georgia Bulldog's tailgate and the memories it conjures. She embraces quirky traditions like burying a bottle of bourbon to keep the rain away on your wedding day, and knows the best recipes are meant to be shared. That's what inspired Ivy to write her first cookbook, My Southern Kitchen, which is coming out this month. With over 100 recipes, it's filled with colorful stories, gorgeous photographs, and Ivy's uniquely Southern ideas for entertaining. And if you have a special occasion coming up, it also has that magic recipe for her little layer chocolate cake. Enjoy. Sid Evans, Editor-in-Chief. What we're loving, sharing, and celebrating in season. Mum's the Word. Come fall at Three Porch Farm in Comer, Georgia, The Heirloom Chrysanthemums Sing by Cameron Bell. It was on a road trip from Georgia to California nearly 20 years ago when Mandy Revolis and Steve O'Shea fell in love and started dreaming up Three Porch Farm. We were already kind of friends, but by day two, I knew we were going to be together forever, recalls Mandy in 2011. The O'Shea's spotted a 9-acre plot of land in Comer, Georgia on Craigslist, bringing them from the West Coast back to Mandy's home state. Although Steve is a California native, he'd been enamored with the area since first visiting there in 2003. The idea of a porch just embodied all the romantic beauty of the South to me, he says, of the inspiration behind the farm's name. And when we found this place and discovered that the home on the property had not only one porch, but three, we felt porch rich. The pair started off growing and selling mostly veggies and fruits at local farmers market. But 2 years later, after exploring the Pacific Northwest, they went all in on the flowers. We saw fields of dahlias with so much variety, color, and alien forms, says Steve. It was mesmerizing. On that same trip, a market of simple tables with buckets of those gorgeous blooms caught their attention and ultimately pushed them to switch to cultivating dahlias, which many Southerners were unfamiliar with at the time. It was a big risk, but people were buying the flowers, so we immediately started figuring out how we could grow more varieties, he recalls. We haven't looked back since. Throughout the year, their fields brim with different blooms, hellebores, poppies, and ranunculus in the winter, peonies in the spring, dahlias in the summer, and chrysanthemums, now one of their primary flowers in the fall. Mandy emphasizes that these aren't the typical roundy-moundy potted mums. The heirloom varieties vary in three-porch range from ones with more traditional petals to those that look like fireworks, all in a vibrant rainbow of solid and ombre hues. The O'Shea's, who harvest 10,000 stems each season, are not only helping restore these lost mum types to the floral world and educating other growers, but they're also sharing them with home gardeners. In 2020, the small operation began shipping seeds and plants across the country. Today, they send out over 85,000 rooted mum cuttings each spring. We've spent the last 12 years isolating the most successful varieties for cut flowers, says Steve. Our goal is to help bring these beautiful things back from obscurity and into people's gardens. So get growing. Four tips for caring for these blooms at home. Create stability. The biggest thing with the varieties that we have is that they get really tall. So you do need to provide some support for them, notes Steve, who recommends bamboo stakes, a gardening net, or even tomato cages for potted ones. Know your plants. Chrysanthemums are very forgiving and simple to propagate, says Mandy. Even though some may look so gorgeous and unattainable, they're actually quite easy to grow in moderately nutrient-rich soil with full sun. As cool weather bloomers, the plants can take a bit of frost, but if the temperature drops below freezing, be sure to cover them to protect the flowers. Snip them. If you don't cut the stems, it's just going to be one tall plant, says Mandy. Every time you cut it back, that sends hormones out to the sides, so it gets bushier, and then you have a bunch of stems instead of just one tall flower. Order mums now for next spring. Sold only online, Three Porch Farm mum cuttings are shipped nationwide from March through June. These plants sell out quickly, so pre-ordering is encouraged beginning in August of this year. The cut flowers are available in the farm store in October and November. Delicious delicata. With nutty sweet flesh and edible skin, no peeling is required, this squash makes a simple side. Stuffed delicata squash. Active 35 minutes, total 45 minutes, serves 6. Have 3 medium delicata squash lengthwise, and scrape out the seeds. Brush the cut sides of the squash with 1 tablespoon olive oil and sprinkle with 1 teaspoon kosher salt and 1/2 teaspoon black pepper. Place the squash, cut sides down, on a large rimmed baking sheet. Bake at 425 degrees Fahrenheit until the squash are tender, but hold their shape, 20 to 30 minutes. Meanwhile, heat 3 tablespoons olive oil in a large skillet over medium. Add 3/4 cup each of finely chopped yellow onion, finely chopped fennel, then cook, stirring occasionally until softened, for about 6 to 8 minutes. Stir in 2 1/2 cups cooked farro, 1/2 cup dried tart cherries, and 1/3 cup chopped toasted pecans. Cook, stirring occasionally until warm, about 2 minutes. Remove from the heat and stir in 1/4 cup crumbled feta cheese, 2 tablespoons each chopped parsley, fresh lemon juice, and chopped fennel fronds, 1/4 teaspoon black pepper, and salt to taste. Turn the squash, cut sides up, then spoon the farro mixture into the squash halves, about 3/4 cup each. Bake until heated through, 3 to 5 minutes, then garnish with chopped parsley and fennel fronds. Roasted delicata squash. Trim about 1 inch off each end of 2 large delicata squash. Using a spoon, scrape out the seeds, then slice into 1/2 inch thick rings, tossing with 6 tablespoons melted butter, 1 teaspoon smoked paprika, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, and 1/8 teaspoon cayenne pepper in a large bowl until evenly coated. Arrange the squash in a single layer on a large rimmed baking sheet and drizzle with any butter mixture left in the bowl. Bake at 450 degrees Fahrenheit on the lowest rack until the undersides are browned, 18 to 20 minutes. Flip and bake until tender, about 5 minutes. Transfer to a serving platter and drizzle with 1 tablespoon cane syrup, and then sprinkle with 3 tablespoons chopped smoked almonds. Active 20 minutes, total 45 minutes, serves 4. We have come to the end of our program. I'm Joyce Davis, and I will be back soon.